This is Louise Gartner with Spectrum Commodities, taking a look at the wheat markets for Monday, September 13th. Well, last week the wheat markets were under some pressure along with the rest of the crops as we continue to deal with the aftermath of Hurricane Ida, where we've got several elevators in the New Orleans region which are non-functioning, and it's going to be a while before some of them are back up. We still hear about water in some of them. The Cargill one has had quite a bit of damage to it, so it's going to be months before it's back up. So it's been a much slower process getting back online than what was expected. They originally thought once power comes back on and people get back to work that it would be as simple as that, but it looks like it's going to be more complex. That creates a great deal of uncertainty as what our export capacity is, at least in the near term. And as we head right down into the harvest for corn and beans, it creates significant problems. A full 60% of U.S. grain exports leave out of the Gulf. Exporters are trying to divert as much of that capacity to other ports as much as they can, but still, that was just a huge part of our export program, and that you just have constraints with these other ports and transportation issues. All of that's combined to get grain on a vessel and out into the ocean has certainly been upended here, and it's cast quite a bit of pressure on cash basis. It's backing up product into the interior, and that's obviously pressuring the futures market as well. So that's, with the crop report out of the way, now we focus on kind of finishing up the yield prospects for corn and beans, and we focus on harvest. And now we're focused on just ability to export, and that's a huge bottleneck for us, and a big part of the reason why grain prices have pulled lower like they have. But also the crop report kind of confirmed what the trade is looking for, is bigger yields, bigger production than we were expecting a month ago. So let's look at the numbers for corn and beans in particular as far as harvested acres and yield goes. For harvested acres, they've got corn at 85.1 million acres. That is up about 600,000 over last month's estimate, and it was pretty much in line with where the trade was expecting. For soybean harvested acres, 86.4, that's down 300,000 from last month, and that's down 300,000 from the trade estimate. For yields, they've got corn at 176.3. That's up 1.7 from a month ago, and it's up a half over the trade estimate. For soybeans at 50.6, that's up 0.6 from last month and up 0.2 from the average trade guess. Total production, they're looking at corn for 14.996 billion bushels, so that's right at 15 billion. That is up 54 million over what the trade was looking for. Soybeans at 4.3 billion bushels, that's down just 3 million from what the trade was looking for. So pretty much in line with trade expectations there. For the carryout, corn ending stocks at 1.4 billion bushels. That's up 26 million over what the trade was looking for. Soybeans at 185 million. It's down 5 from what the estimate was. And for wheat, 615 million. That is down 1 from what the trade is looking for. And it's down 12 from last month's estimate. Taking a look at the world numbers for corn, we've got Argentina expected at 53 million tons. That is for this upcoming crop that's currently going into the ground. That is up 2 from last month's estimates, and it's up 3 from last year. For Brazil, 118 million tons, that's unchanged from last month's estimate, but it's up 32 from last year, which was just earlier this calendar year, which was just quite a train wreck for Brazil as far as their second season crop goes. In China, corn production was raised 5 million tons for this season, 273 million tons, and that's up 13 from a year ago. Ukraine, they left unchanged at 39 million tons. That is up 9 from last year. Ukraine having a good year, whether you're looking at row crops or wheat. They just had very good weather throughout the entire growing season. So Ukraine coming on strong this year after seeing some hiccups last year. In soybeans, we're looking at Brazil, 144 million tons. That's unchanged from last month, and it's up 7 over last year. Argentina, 52 million tons, unchanged from last month, and up 6 from last year. For wheat, this year we're looking at Argentina producing 20 million tons. That's down 0.5 from last month, but it's up 2.5 from last year. So that is the crop that is about to be cut in Argentina. In Australia, too, 31.5 million tons. They raised that at 1.5. And it's still down 1.5 from last year's record 33, but it's pretty darn close. So Australia coming on again with another big crop. And this follows three, at least, if not 4 years of just massive devastation in Australia. They just had like nothing to cut for years. Now Mother Nature giving them a break with a record crop last year and pretty close to that this year. In Canada, they had wheat production for this year at 23 million tons. That was down 1 from last month's estimate. It's down 12 from last year. European Union, they raised 500,000 tons at 139. That's still up 13 from a year ago. Russia, they left unchanged at 72.5 million tons, which is down 13 from last year's record crop. So Russia has really been the storyline for the wheat space this year. They were, early in the season, it looked like they would match last year's record crop. And as the season wore on, there really wasn't much deviation from that until late. USDA took their production down aggressively last month. Even the private guys in Russia weren't down that much. And so USDA left them alone at 72.5. So it would appear that they're pretty comfortable with that number. Most of the private guys are just slightly above that. So it looks like we're going to settle in, you know, probably anywhere from 72 to maybe up to 75 million tons for Russian wheat production, which again is well below last year's record and well below where we thought Russia would be earlier this season. And again, that's down a full at least 10 million tons from last year. Where USDA has them, they're down 13. Kazakhstan was unchanged at 12.5 million tons, which is down 2 from last year. Ukraine was unchanged at 33 million tons, which is up 8 from last year. So again, Ukraine having a good year this year. Last year wasn't so great. Just the opposite of Russia this year. And we've seen that with their aggressive exports. They participated in almost every Egyptian tender for the last couple months. And this last week, Russia participated with one cargo for the first time in several months. Russia has just not been a player. They've had their wheat export tax really cut into their ability to export. The ruble has increased in value somewhat, but not enough to really take them out of the game if it weren't for all these other factors. And also, the farmers have been slow sellers initially. They've started to let go a little bit, which has allowed the exporters to have something to sell. But by and large, we don't expect that Russia will be a major player because the government has imposed a pretty aggressive export tax. For this coming week, September 15th through the 21st, that tax on wheat will be $52.50 per ton. That is up 6 from last week. For barley, it's $33.10 per ton. That's up 7. And corn at $49 a ton is down $2.10. It's just a lot. Plus, Russia doesn't really know for sure exactly what that tax will be as they put out their FOB offers. So it's always a little bit of a guess for them. It's forced exporters to really just take a back seat. So we don't expect them to be very aggressive. And especially with a crop of 72 million tons, that is not a lot of extra to export. And I would imagine that the government's going to ensure that domestic supplies are satisfactory. And I doubt that the tax is going to be reduced, much less removed, until late in the marketing year when they feel comfortable with what the next crop looks like. And that takes us well into June. So we just don't expect to see Russia be a player. That removes the world's biggest exporter and the price setter. So it comes then down to the next ones, which would be the European Union or the rest of the Black Sea, both of which Ukraine and Romania coming in with big crops, in fact, record crops. They have kind of set the tone, but the absence of Russia has allowed world prices to move higher. So despite the pressure in U.S. wheat prices, where U.S. soft red at the Gulf was down $24 a ton and hard red was down $8 a ton, we're seeing Russian prices actually be up $5 a ton. Romania is up $3 a ton. Ukraine is down $2, France down $5 a ton. Argentina is unchanged, and so it's kind of a mixed bag, but coming out of the Black Sea, Romania and Ukraine are mixed, and Russia is higher. So it's a mixed bag. But I would expect that with the underpinning of world prices, again, despite the pressure in U.S., when you look at the export trade, where are they going to go? The U.S. has supply. We're just struggling to get it moved through the ports. That leaves European Union and the Black Sea region as the primary exporters. Canada would be mostly spring wheat. So this, I think, will allow world prices to move higher yet again and continue to push higher. So when we finally get the export facilities online, it's going to be, I think, a sudden onslaught of business coming to the United States. Now, that said, that business likely will come for corn and beans. Exporters will probably give priority to corn and beans, and so that might create some bottlenecks there for wheat. But I think the bottom line is for wheat that we're going to be certainly Ukraine and Romania cannot carry the load. The European Union is just soft wheats. When it comes to the quality hard wheats, it's still going to be the United States and Canada once Ukraine and Romania move through their supplies. It won't take long for Romania and Ukraine, too, to do that. So the demand base is still there. It's just a matter of logistics for the United States. And I think once we get those squared away, we're going to see a surge in demand. And it's going to be exporters clamoring for product to get it to the port. So I still think we're on track for the normal seasonal tendencies. The Hurricane Ida damage certainly was something out of left field that's created some pressure in the market. I think has also created some opportunities. If a person were looking for a place to get long the market, this has certainly created that opportunity to do that. If you want some ideas on how to get that done, be sure and give me a call at 1-800-888-9843. This is Ben Louise Gartner with Spectrum Commodities.